On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. Eckholm. Shot. Rebound. Score.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I jumped the gun there on the candle guy.
Look at that guy. He didn't even let him finish.
Nah, fuck him. I'm putting out the candle.
I like him.
Yeah, well. I'm thirsty over here. How's it going, man?
Top notch. What about you?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's all good. Was wondering if you had... Have you been watching much soccer lately?
Never.
No. Okay.
Women's 2012 Olympic soccer, maybe.
Yeah, it was pretty good, eh? We're getting shit done over there. But not really.
Refs.
Yeah, that's the chorus of the loser.
Yeah, what do you got? Well, okay, that was fucking horrible officiating, but what do you got?
Since we're not here to break down the 2012 Olympic women's soccer tournament. Yeah.
Yep.
I got a couple of quotes here that I wanted to give you.
But they are soccer-based. Yeah,
they are soccer-based.
Are they both soccer-based?
They are both soccer-based.
It's a light sports show, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're not going to spend all night on them. Don't worry. Hey, you can follow us on the Twitter at Tall Can Audio.
You know it's good shit anyways.
And facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And yeah. So the first one, I'm sure you're familiar with our man, Diego Maradona.
The hand of God.
He is now a coach in the second division of the Mexican League.
Okay, he's not with Boca or any of that good shit.
You're losing me already.
Okay. Well, I'm bringing a little bit of everything.
So he was interviewed on Mexican television.
Was it really Mexican, or are you just lumping all of South America in as Mexicans?
No, he's in the Mexican second league, I'm telling you. And the question... is clearly in Spanish.
Sorry
You'll
about
be
that,
able
Matt.
To back me
well,
up.
Well, Argentina.
I did
spokes.
My fucking... No, we don't care about Argentina.
Well, that's where he's from.
And, yeah, no, and, Mexico. Right. We're doing Mexico. Right. We're sticking with it.
Matt doesn't know the difference.
Between Argentina and Mexico? Yeah, I don't know. One gets tear gassed and one has a decent amount of distance from the Southern American border. So, the first voice you're going to hear... is an interviewer asking him a question on Espanol.
En Espanol. Cuesa, por
See,
favor.
There's me doing my
yep.
racial reach out.
Yep.
Not reach around. Reach out.
No, because nope, you're asking nope. for that.
Yeah. The racial reach around. Somebody hit me with the racial reach around. And the second voice you'll hear is... Diego Maradona, in any language, giving the response of a lifetime.
Imagino que has visto también más el fútbol de la Liga MX de Primera División. Lo has observado más de cerca, me imagino, aunque ya algo lo conocías. ¿Qué piensas de la Liga MX, de su nivel?
No, la La
What's up, Diego? I don't know what he was asked. He was confused.
He was asking about the quality of the first...
Of the Premier League. Yeah,
the first of Mexico. Division of Mexican
Thank you.
Goal wall.
Yeah. Okay.
Football, sorry.
I'm not sure
Football.
He had her totally together. I don't know if there's been a couple of too many headers.
Some cervezas involved there, I think.
There's no chance in
he's
any
fat.
Language.
I haven't seen him recently, but he's fat.
There's no chance in any language that was a real answer, was it? It's more of just anybody going,
you know, what's up? That's the South American version of it. No, that's clearly, I think he's saying, how did I, this is it. Picture the bubble.
I'm
going to run it back.
De la Liga MX de Primera División. Lo has observado más de cerca, me imagino, aunque ya algo lo conocías. ¿Qué piensas de la Liga MX de su nivel?
Well-formed question.
One of the greatest, I'm one of the greatest World Cup football players of all time. How did I end up in the Mexican second division? That's what I'm thinking right now.
Most tequila. Puff of
Most tequila. Yeah, he's saying, how did I get here? What are the Boca Juniors doing? What's happening there?
Across the pond.
I need to be in the baby blue and whites. What's going on here?
The coach for Liverpool this week faced a press conference. And this is actually almost a week ago now. Maybe a little more than that, but that's okay. For those unfamiliar who simply watch the National Hockey League or Major League Baseball or whatever, in many sports, like the Olympics, like the World Cup, like whatever, you face reporters from numerous countries. And if you've ever watched any kind of, you know, live proceedings from our own parliament here in Canada, they drop the translator in over top of what you're listening to. But at an international sporting event like the Olympics or in soccer or whatever, the coach has that translator in his ear as he sits up at the podium. So if someone asks a question in French or in whatever other language, someone's going to hit him with what he's being asked, and he'll answer in English. But it's not just for the television broadcast. It's for the coach himself so he can know what's being asked of him. So what you're going to hear primarily is the voice of the translator who is going over the air in terms of the broadcast, but also directly into Liverpool's coach's ear. In the background, you'll kind of hear the question being asked in French, but that's going to be very vague. The second voice you'll hear kind of after the translator is done speaking is the voice of the head coach of Liverpool. Take a listen.
So it's a very important game tomorrow. How are you going to play against Paris tomorrow?
Very erotic voice, by the way, the translator. Congratulations.
Wow.
Again, please.
How are you going to play against Paris? It came across.
Give it to us again.
Very straight. Let's do it once more.
So it's a very important game tomorrow. How are you going to play against Paris tomorrow?
Very erotic voice, by the way. Translator. Congratulations.
More, please.
Wow.
Again, please.
And it's the low, breathy nature of it.
How are you going to play against Paris?
Tomorrow is a big game. Hey, big fella. Well, and the coach, clearly, hey.
This is right in my ear.
I go in for this. Yeah, what do you like? Can you hit me with some more of that?
Yeah, I loved that at the end, right? Like, again, please.
Well, and if it's breathy and it's in my ear.
Well, I don't think you actually feel the breath.
I know, but it's the breathy quality of it.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable. I wear these giant earphones, putting that shit right in my ear. I don't know how many. I don't know how many translators are in these press conferences. I don't know. And you can kind of hear the guy in the background, even the translator going, oh, all right, like laughing at himself. But it's quite the world out there, man.
So it's a very big game tomorrow. Clearly. You know who that is? It's Antonio Banderas.
You mean the cat from Shrek?
This is it.
That's weird, man.
Okay. He's a handsome man, too.
Antonio Banderas? Antonio. What else was he in?
Zorro.
Yeah.
He did the remake of Zorro.
Okay.
He was in...
All right. I'm losing interest.
Okay.
A couple of things we wanted to talk about here. Let's start with baseball. Because it's
baseball.
It's been a little while, and
It's been a while since I could stand on my...
Exactly.
Steam. That's where I was going.
Yeah. Josh Donaldson signs 1 year, $23 million.
Pinky in the mouth.
With the... Yes, with the Atlanta Braves. I suppose you could make the argument that he's risking a little something that maybe he would have gotten more out there, but we've talked in previous shows about what age seems to do to you. You could certainly make the argument that the Braves are risking something in terms of giving somebody that old who's frankly had horrible health problems over the last season or
calf,
two.
Calf, dead arm,
yeah,
just...
So they bring him in, and the real connection, for those of you who have not made it yet, is that the general manager of the Atlanta Braves right now is Alex Anthopoulos, who has quite a history with Josh Donaldson, is responsible for bringing him to Toronto for Brett Laurie way back in the day. He doesn't seem to have any reservations about this. I wonder, at first blush, what your... thoughts are for both sides.
I don't think anybody else is giving him $23 million next year.
What would you have given him? Like, what's your max where you stop going, oh, fuck, I'm not doing that? For 1 year with no commitment, right? Like,
I think if we're going to go 1 year, I think 12 and a half to 15.
Wow, okay. And this is a thing, right? This was a deal in Toronto for a while where they couldn't get it done in terms of an extension because, you know, he wasn't willing to not bet on himself. He believed he was going to be every bit as good as he'd ever been. The Jays were not sold on that, likely rightfully so. He came back with Cleveland in September. Wasn't awful.
Wasn't great.
Wasn't great. That's right. But obviously Anthopoulos is betting on him getting close to what he was in 2015, 2016. It's a hell of a bet, but he doesn't have a whole lot on the line if it doesn't work. Although it is a young team with expectations. He's not being brought into...
Right. That is a playoff team that was ahead of schedule this year.
Yeah, with a lot of young guys that came along very quickly.
And so, and you watch a little bit of the presser and he's saying, I'm better than anything else they could have got.
Well, they said, you know, what is the adjustment going to be like for you to get to the NL? He kind of goes, look at my NL numbers from Interleague. I'll be fine. And Anthopoulos looks at me, you haven't changed a bit. And this is all right in front of the media. But he does have a .303 batting average in the NA.
Yeah. I don't think, to NA, me.
National League, whatever.
Yep, I knew you meant.
I know.
The good listener may not have.
Yeah, I know. I'm
stupid. We'll wait and we'll see, right? To me... He has a great opportunity to parlay this into something bigger. But I do you think anybody was going to give him that money other than Alex Anthopoulos?
No. What I'm wondering about is would he have been better off to take a 2-year deal at, as you're pointing out, 12 and a half or 15 per, because next year you're looking at Rendon becomes a third baseman free agent, and the guy out of Colorado, It starts with an O. You'd know exactly who.
It's escaping me.
And they're both going to be far more desirable than him. And you then paint yourself looking like you're going to be painted into a box where you look inferior to those guys. Now you are, but do you want to be in that class, or should you have just signed up for a longer term at a little less money and take the security? Because you don't, you may stink again. Like, that's a real possibility.
No. I stink again.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, and is there
Nolan Arenado? Sorry. Carry on.
Okinawa. I think at 32, there's always going to be somebody who's going to bet on him. Even if they cut his salary in half the next year and go, yeah, all right, well, let's see what you can do now. We as somebody who is 3 or 4 years removed from an AL MVP,
yep.
Someone's always going to say, okay, yeah, you're healthy now. You're healthy now. The doctor says you're healthy now. So, no, I think you take as much money as you can in this deal.
Up front
and go, yeah. And really think about it. Somebody's going to pay you $23 million for this year.
I'm going. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going.
This is it. I'm not signing 2 years, $30 million. I'll take your 23 and then sign for 12 next year.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I guess, right? Like,
and at the end of it, you go, well, all right, I'm still five to the good there.
Five to the good. No, to me, don't you think, like, is this not part of what we talked about on the last show in terms of it doesn't matter how good you are or were, once you cross 30, you're fucking ancient.
For sure. For sure. But I'm just saying there is only so many spots. And what is a terrible year for him? 270? 25 homers? Is that a terrible year?
No. That's an okay year.
Yeah, it's not a $23 million year.
No.
But
Nolan Arenado.
Okay, just keep yelling it.
No, I found it.
Okay.
That's his name. Nolan fucking Arenado.
Isn't that what you just said? Like 2 minutes
ago? I think I was calling him like Orionka or something. Anyway.
Arenada.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I'll get some money. Arenada.
Yeah. It still doesn't ring a bell to me, actually, now, to be honest with you.
Let's keep pounding on it.
Yeah. I think that's a great signing for him. I don't think it's that wise for Atlanta. I think it's an overspending.
Right.
That's a favor.
Oh, I think there's something to that. Yeah. We made some magic together. Why don't we see if we can do it again? Right. Like, I don't know, man. I think there's a real chance Josh Donaldson has a, maybe not quite 2015 Josh Donaldson year, but a top 8 third baseman in the league.
Well, and what you mean, the NL or mean major leagues?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I think
that's a chance I'd take with a young team like that.
At his, because he obviously wasn't healthy when he went over to Cleveland.
No.
Right. Didn't pass the physical, or at least the physical was fudged.
Yes.
And he and Double E were right in the middle of the lineup.
Yep.
You had that sort of 2015, 2016 spark plug right in the middle of that Cleveland, and they fizzled.
Yep.
Right. They were less than stellar.
So 2 weeks ago in far from the major leagues of pro fighting, we saw Tito Ortiz and
the Iceman,
Chuck Liddell, face off. At one point, this was maybe the biggest rivalry in the UFC.
Yeah, for sure.
They're fighting now quite a few levels down as they've gone up in age and the sport has improved. And there's just not a lot there left for marketing in terms of a UFC perspective.
Well, and it's Golden Boy Productions. I was going to say the fight company.
Arenado Productions.
Yes, it was Golden Boy.
So these guys who have fought numerous times before are going to...
Twice.
That's a number.
Yep.
Are going to face each other again, have faced each other again. How much older would you say is Chuck Liddell than Tito Ortiz?
Can't be. I think he's a decade.
Okay. They've both been out of the spotlight of the UFC for quite some time now. So
Liddell's been out of it for almost 8 years.
Yeah. as soon as Chuck Liddell is walking out, you can tell this doesn't look right. I don't know if you have seen the fight. I didn't see it live. I watched it after the fact.
Right. I watched some clips.
Yeah. As he's walking out to fight, he doesn't look right. He doesn't look like a fighter. This is the part that's confusing to me, as we'll kind of get into this. But in order to fight in most states, you have to pass a lot of physicals. Like, there's numerous levels of this. And there's
the California State Athletic Commission is one of the biggest.
Right.
In North America.
That's right. So as Chuck is walking out to fight, he doesn't look anywhere close to ready to fight. You wouldn't call it staggering, but he's kind of off balanced a little bit. He doesn't really look like himself. He doesn't look anything like what he used to look like even 8 years ago. And he gets in there and he gets completely fucked up by Tito Ortiz. Would you want to characterize that any differently? No.
The reality is Chuck had, he was an NCAA wrestler.
Yeah.
He was the original of the sort of the new face of MMA in the early 2000s, where he took his wrestling background and he became that sprawl and brawl kind of guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a wrestling background, but I want to punch.
Right.
Right. So that level up from your Tank Abbotts and those sort of street fighters who had no interest other than just, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Right.
So he always had a bit of an awkward style, right? And he never had the most athletic physique. You see the guys in there who are just ripped and cut.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the sport's been hard on him. And as a guy who made his living sprawling and brawling, he's taken a lot of shots. And in the second half of his career, he developed what you would call a paper mache chin.
Right.
And
for those not familiar with the fight game, it means you're getting knocked out fast. You can't take a punch.
Anything around that chin area, right? Or above the ear. Now, above the ear, that's taking us all down.
It's the off button.
Yeah. But any substantial shot, now he goes down.
Yeah.
Boom. For a guy who, and people talk about him and Tito Ortiz, he had a great trilogy with Randy Couture.
Yep.
Right? That is, he fought some guys, right? And he beat Tito in the first two fights.
Mm-hmm.
And really made Tito look bad in the one.
And people loved it. People hated Tito and loved Chuck, right?
Well, because Chuck was that guy who wanted to lean back. He was that sort of street fighting guy, right?
I think it was also personality-wise. Tito came off as kind of a
Tito's the guy who's going to beat down lesser competition and then act like he's throwing dirt on you, digging your grave and throwing dirt on you, right? That's so Tito Ortiz, big mouth.
So these guys have fallen, for lack of a better word, to the minor leagues or to double A or to whatever to fight. And they're both looking for a paycheck. And the promotion is obviously looking to use their names. And we get out there and Chuck is fucked up and Tito destroys him really fast.
Well, when you watch the fight, and for anybody out there who has or hasn't seen it, because Tito's been knocked out or punished by Chuck, he's sort of tentative. Until you see until you see that moment when he realizes,
oh, this guy's fucked, right?
This guy's fucked, and I'm gonna punch right through him.
Yes.
And then the first solid contact, boom, out goes the Iceman, right? Ice cold.
Baby. This opens up a lot of questions that I think the UFC would like us to believe were answered a long time ago in terms of the safety of the sport. And it's come a long way from the brutal days of the first couple of UFC fights. But the UFC is the big time, right? And you don't anymore see anything really shocking on UFC TV in terms of brutality, right? In terms of...
Well, that strawweight women's fight.
Yeah, no, true enough. And I guess you're right. It's not like it never happens. But this is now a question of what are we as people comfortable watching as a society, right? Like, this is a guy who is a trained killer in terms of Chuck Liddell, but those days are gone. And should anybody have been able to identify as he's walking in that this isn't someone prepared to fight? I don't know how he passes a physical in from the California State Athletic Commission. So you're saying they just didn't run one on him?
Well, I'm saying if they did, they looked at it as they need to make their money too.
Yeah, and that's a part of this. Like, for people who don't understand the sport, they take their cut. When if you run a show in California, that athletic commission takes a cut of your profits, and the profits are shit without Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz in a minor league fight.
Right. That it,
this was scary, man, to look at. This was a guy who was clearly not ready to fight against a guy who's clearly still a fucking badass.
It had the look. Well, and Tito is certainly past his prime as well.
Sure.
But Tito at least always looked the part.
Yep.
Of being athletic and being a fighter and being younger.
But
right?
Before Chuck was ever punched, he looked fucked just coming out.
Right. And it, well, to me, yeah, he had that sort of dazed almost look in his eyes. But when they were in the ring, it had the look of Chuck looked like a guy like me. Like if I was going to get in the ring in terms of I'm not prepared to fight Tito Ortiz.
Right.
And I'm going to get dusted up.
Right.
Or worse. Yeah.
It's damage to the sport, or is
for
it?
For sure it does. And as I said, if you want.
Is it just because of the names? Because this has to have happened before in the minor leagues of fighting that no one ever hears
of
but nobody cares because it's not these names. Well, but we know these guys.
And see, this is Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Productions, right? Who is sort of making their foray into mixed martial arts, right? They haven't done it's either their first or they haven't done a pile of mixed martial arts fights. So they wanted the card. Man, there was guys in that card making $1,500.
Right.
If you looked at I went and looked at the salaries.
Yeah.
Did you see that at all?
No, I didn't.
So interestingly enough, the backstory to this is Chuck, because Dana White,
head of the UFC,
wouldn't let him fight anymore.
That's right.
And said,
and
hey,
he was right.
I'm going to give you, because he'd lost his 7 of his last 8 fights by knockout. I'm going to give you an office job forever.
Said you would take care of him. You stay here for what you've done for this sport. You'll have a job. We'll pay you. You'll be okay, but you're done fighting.
Don't fight.
Yeah.
And so what happened is once the UFC was sold.
Yes. New ownership.
New ownership. And the new word comes down.
Beat it, Chuck.
Chuck, you're out. Right? So you look, Chuck was guaranteed, win or lose, $250,000.
Probably needs it.
This is what I'm saying is he, at the end of the day, he's like, and he's talking about, listening to some of his interviews before and after, and he's saying, I don't know what I want to do. Maybe I want to start up a gym. And you go, okay, 250 minus taxes.
Yeah.
Could start up a gym with that.
Yep.
Right. Otherwise, I don't think you'll ever see him fight again. But to me,
I hope I don't.
I hope I don't too.
Yeah.
Because I have no interest in watching that.
No. And it looks so bad on the sport, right? Where you try and get somebody to sit down and watch a UFC fight with you and go, this is not what you think it is. This is a legit sport or whatever. And then they flip on YouTube the next morning and go, what's this?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
Oh, it's the same thing. Oh, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah,
it's without all the shiny lights and professional referees.
This
and,
is it.
Yeah.
But you'd think that in that case, as we've touched on, the California State Athletic Commission is the safety net that says we cannot let this guy fight.
Well, they're supposed to be that final.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you go,
they fucking failed.
You didn't do your job.
Yeah.
Fail. Talking about somebody else who didn't do their job.
This could go anywhere.
Yes. Matt.
Right across the table.
I'm watching, and it's probably last week sometime now. So very current.
Yeah.
But it dovetails nicely with that.
Right.
In the, it was a Pittsburgh-Winnipeg hockey game.
Right.
Right, where Dustin Byfuglien, 265 pounds, 6'5", steps up to blast 6'7", 260-pound Jamie Oleksiak.
The swimmer?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Older brother of
Penny.
But he's a huge man, 6'7", 260, bringing the puck up the boards, big buff, steps up to blast him. Oh, and they both go down.
Down we go.
But Oleksiak gets up and gets back in the play. Buff does not. He tries.
Right.
Collapse. Gets up. Bambi-legged. He's got two teammates helping him to get up onto the bench. Like,
which
lifting.
Is quite a sight for a big motherfucker like Dustin
Byfuglien. Big man.
Yeah.
And later in that same game, he's back playing.
Fail.
Fail, NHL concussion spotters in the stands. How do you see a guy not be able to get up on his own two feet?
20 minutes, he's good to go.
And you're good to go. Clear, man, I'm good.
Don't you think this is one of those things that, similar to the last topic, we have to, similar to the NFL, similar to the CFL, we have to decide what are we comfortable with, right? Is a 15-yard penalty for a hit to the head of a quarterback enough to make me go, yeah, okay, they'll stop doing it? Or, yeah, justice was served, right? Like, at some point, these sports are hard. These sports are physical, and bad shit happens.
Yep.
And at what point do you go, this isn't fun to watch anymore?
Well, and for me, this isn't, Matt, you're a quarterback, and I'm launching the front of my helmet into the front of your helmet,
right,
intentionally trying to hurt you.
Right.
This is in the run of play. Bufflin threw the hit,
yep,
and took the worst of it. So you go, yeah, all right, well, there's no amount of protection you can do in a physical contact sport that doesn't say, hey, man, you tried to do the damage and you got damaged. I think they have to put somebody's job on the line that says, hey, you're not going back on the ice. I'm putting my medical license or whatever that is saying, we all saw what happened there.
Yeah.
You can't play. You can't play today. We rest you. You go through protocol. Maybe you can play the next game. Maybe you have no symptoms.
I just think we're always going to be looking at who's putting their sack on the line in game 7 of the Western Conference Final when Connor McDavid's had his bell rung and someone's going, no, you're coming out. Fuck that.
Or
that's our ratings guy. That's our best guy. That's what we need to.
How about Sidney Crosby getting smashed from behind head first as he goes top of his head right into the boards?
Yeah.
And he's back in the same game.
Right. With a history of head and neck problems, right? Like, this is always going to be a thing. The sport versus the competitive nature of it versus the health and well-being and safety of the competitors in it. Because half of the thing you got to realize is half of those competitors are going, yeah, I'm good. I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm coming back in.
I think you take it right out of their hands, and they try
to
with team doctors, but then you still are just under the team salary.
Yeah.
When somebody's coming back saying, yeah, doc, you don't want to let that guy go? You don't have a job. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So
into overtime, season on the line, and you're pulling the goalie out? Like, as long as this is up to the teams, it's never going to be done properly.
And if your concussion spotter is paid by the team?
Yeah.
Garbage.
Well, and I believe they're supposed to be, the one up in the stands is employed by the league, I believe.
Okay, and to me, garbage. You're doing a terrible job.
Oh, for sure they are.
You're doing a horrible job.
It's been awful. I don't know, man. This is.
So I think you can't look. You can't physically look at that and go, yeah, sure, that guy's good. Look at that.
Right.
I can't stand up.
The biggest guy in the league, or second biggest guy in the league, is fucking Bambi leg. You can't stand. Yeah, no, he's fine. Get out there. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You're done for the night, man.
And again, I get it. You're saying you're symptom free. Yeah. I don't expect anything less from you right this
moment.
You're
a competitor.
But guess what? You don't get the say.
No.
Because you know what? Did you look? How about we show you this clip?
I remember.
Who's that guy? Oh, look at that.
Circle back a little bit. I remember seeing an interview with Forrest Griffin, and he's talking about having been involved in a fight in the octagon, in the UFC, where he was knocked the fuck out, and the ref ends the fight, and he jumps up, and you can see it. He's yelling at the ref, I'm fine. What are you doing? And the ref points at the video board, and there's a guy standing over him, raining down punches, and he has no recollection of that 30 seconds. I remember waking up as the fight ends. That guy is killing me, is what Forrest Griffin, and he says to him, I'm sorry, thank you. Like, you saved my fucking life there. You have no recollection. You have no idea what's happening to you until someone points at the board. And like you said, it's an out-of-body experience. Well, you're now looking at someone else killing you.
How many times have you seen in a mixed martial arts fight where somebody's been knocked out and the same thing's happening, right? The guy is on top and he's raining down blows. The ref steps in and he's pushed the top guy off to protect the guy in the bottom.
Yes.
And then the guy in the bottom who's been knocked out comes to
instinctually
grabs the leg of the ref or does whatever and
still trying to protect.
Because you've come to now and you're like,
out, man. This is done. You just don't remember it.
It feels a lot like a super toke in high school.
Super toke.
Sucking it in. Somebody's squeezing me and you go, psh, I'm out. And I'm back. Yeah, you've been out for about 20 seconds. Why am I lying in the ditch? Yeah.
Well, that could be any Saturday in Norwood.
Yeah, I'm not from Norwood.
I know where you're fucking from.
You don't have the say. You don't have the say. And again, your point is perfect. You look at that and go, oh, wait. Yeah, I should probably take a second.
Yeah. And part of it is the referees taking the heat off you or of you not having to go back into the locker room and say to the guys, yeah, I'm not going back out there.
Like, yeah, you're out.
Yeah. The machismo of the sport, right, dictates you don't quit, but you probably should. And so a doctor says, no, I'm not letting you go back. You don't have to say to your teammates, I'm not coming back out to help you, right? And that sounds stupid, but that's a part of sports, right?
Like, and really, again, nobody looks at that and goes, yeah, protocol was followed. Guy couldn't get up, couldn't get off on his own power, but we don't think there's any head damage. Right. No trauma there at all.
We haven't examined him, but
his back is broken. That's really why he couldn't get. Forget it. Then there's no problems. Yeah. Get out. Put a brace on.
Yeah. Put some ice on and get the fuck out.
Pussy.
There,
rub a little dirt on it.
Right. I think we'll wind this one down, man. That's Tall Can Sports for another week, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.